The Anton Savage Show
with Kearies.ie
on News Talk.
During the week, the CAS report was published in the UK. This is a review of gender services provided by the National Health Service. It is 300 and something pages in total, about 180 odd outside of the appendices, and it is filled with detailed analysis of the services that have been provided to people who are seeking to transition or who have questions about their gender in the UK. And it is filled with recommendations as to how that system needs to be changed. And it led to the question about, well, what is the Irish system and how does it compare? I'm joined by Dr. Paul Moran, who is a psychiatrist with the National Gender Service. And Paul Moran was also part of the CAS review. That's great, Paul, isn't it? You contributed the Irish experience and a bit more of your own expertise.
That's right.
The final document, the recommendations that it makes, what was your reaction to its findings?
Very positive. This is the most comprehensive review of gender healthcare for children so far in the world. There have been good reviews done in Scandinavian countries and in France and Germany, but this is by far the most detailed, comprehensive and inclusive review.
Now, will you just sit in on the microphone slightly?
Yes,
there,
of course.
What's interesting about it is it raises huge concerns about very significant life-altering interventions being made through the NHS system on seemingly fairly shaky grounds.
Well, that's right. This arose following the development of a model of care in Holland some decades ago called the Dutch model, which was based on very flimsy evidence, but was adopted around the world very rapidly. And following some years of this, it was discovered that the outcomes were not as good as expected. And the Tavistock had adopted the Dutch model.
And Tavistock being a service provider in the NHS.
In the NHS, but it was also providing a service in Crumlin in Ireland. And we were picking up the cases that were coming from Crumlin and Tavistock and seeing that the outcomes were not good and the care was not good. So we were alerting the HSE to this.
Now, can you describe, you said the Dutch model, can you in layman's terms give us a sense of what the Dutch model approach was and what those negative outcomes were that you saw?
Yeah, the Dutch model is the idea that if you give a drug to children that blocks hormones, you prevent puberty and you give them time to think and work out what's best for them and prevent the body developing and distressing them. And it seemed like a good idea at the time. But, however, it was found that this was not the outcome and that the mental health of the children did not improve, their happiness about their bodies did not improve in general. And contrary to what happened before, most of the children put on the blockers went on to have cross-sex hormones versus the previous situation where most children, through puberty, became comfortable with their bodies and their gender role.
So let me just understand that. Before the Dutch model applied, you would have a child who would have concerns about their gender. They would go through puberty, and for the bulk, they would, during puberty, settle into the gender that they were anatomically provided with. In the Dutch model, that was put on hold to no gain, in essence.
Well,
is that it?
No evidence of improvement in the children. And the question is, what effect were these drugs having otherwise? They're called sex hormones, but they're actually sex, brain and bone hormones. And the idea that they're irreversible is now in question. We know that some of the changes to the bones, the demineralization, does not necessarily reverse. We're not sure how much of the changes to brain development can reverse. And the biggest aspect was the social change that it led to. So the effects of these hormones on children is very complex, and there's no really strong evidence for their benefits or risks one way or the other. So based on all the evidence, the CAS review decided there wasn't sufficient evidence to give these blockers to children.
The other thing that the CAS review looked at was the hugely significant, I think it is actually exponential, increase in the number of people presenting with gender identity issues to the NHS. And it talked about the contributing factors to that. What did you make of its findings in respect of that?
Well, this is very interesting, and this has been discussed the world over. This is a global phenomenon, not just in the NHS. And we have seen this in Ireland. When I began about 20 years ago, we were seeing about 5 patients a year. Last year, we had over 400 referrals. So there's a massive increase. What's also interesting is with this increase in referrals, the people we're meeting are very different. And whereas previously we were seeing people who had been gender incongruent in childhood, had difficulty with puberty, now we're seeing people who develop gender issues much later, often connected with other problems in their life. And the CAS report points to social media and cultural factors as the reason for this increase. So we don't believe this is a sudden emergence of an increase in the maybe more traditional gender dysphoria. This is a different thing, and we're trying to learn about it.
Now, just to understand that, as my reading of the CAS report in relation to that, what I understood, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, is the CAS report suggests that there are two possible ways you might see an increase in cases. You might see a permissiveness in society where people who otherwise wouldn't have presented now present because they feel they can. But that doesn't explain this level of increase in numbers. There is some additional catalyst.
It doesn't. And the other point to this is that the people we're seeing are describing a different experience about their gender, and they're also having far more other problems than the group we saw beforehand, including difficulty coping with society, difficulty in communication, mental health problems, and a huge amount of social anxiety. So the new group, as we call it, are different to the previous group. It's not just we're seeing more of the previous group. We're seeing a different group.
And the kind of issues, and again, this goes to some of the CAS recommendations. One of the CAS recommendations looked at effectively the multidisciplinary supports given to somebody who originally presents. And as I understand, or as I my reading of it was, effectively what they were saying was that through the NHS system, there was precious little of that. There wasn't a lot of psychiatric support, paediatrician support, wider community supports for somebody who presented.
That's true. And that's what we saw in the children coming through. In our service, we have developed a very broad multidisciplinary team, including endocrinology, psychiatry, psychology, social work, nursing, speech and language therapy, and occupational therapy. Because this is the broad set of needs. These people, these children, have complex needs. And simply looking at gender without taking into account all the other issues is not helping them.
What did CAS say in respect of medical intervention for these children? What was the recommendation in relation to puberty blockers or to transitioning hormones?
Well, at a broader level, she says that the care should be under either a paediatrician or psychiatrist in the first place, that this isn't safely done in primary care or in just psychological services.
Which isn't the case in the NHS as a norm at the moment.
Well, at the moment, they're establishing new clinics which are under the care of paediatricians. But there are a lot of private services out there that are prescribing hormones and blockers without that level of expertise, and that's putting children at risk. And the other thing she's saying, that extreme caution should be applied in giving any medical treatments to younger people up to age 18. So we don't have the evidence base for the benefits or risks of this treatment. The other thing she says, that long-standing gender incongruence is essential to base medical treatment on. So if you have a young person or teenager who suddenly develops a gender problem, caution should be applied. There needs to be exploration, and fast-tracking them into a medical model is not recommended by the CAS review.
How does the service provided by the National Gender Service in Ireland compare to that revealed by the CAS review of the NHS service, in your view?
Well, we emphasise a more comprehensive assessment and a longer engagement with people. And we look at all the aspects of their life, not just their gender, their mental health, their social health, their sexual health. And we address any issues that are arising as part of treatment. We don't just go ahead and look at the need for hormone treatment. And we have found that when we deliver that, the outcomes are much better. So when people come along with gender distress and associated problems, we emphasise a holistic approach and make sure that all of the issues are addressed.
Do you get client resistance to that? Because I would have imagined that by the time somebody commits to the service or presents to the service, they have in themselves come to a decision or some kind of conclusion in respect of their gender, which then it sounds like gets walked back?
We sometimes do. And this is part of our work, trying to explain to people our duty of care. We have a website which explains our service, National Gender Service Ireland.com, and we always ask people on our waiting list to look at this so when they come to us, they will understand the kind of work that we do.
What about the challenge in relation to the beliefs that are strongly entrenched in the various different groups, whether it be people who are transitioning themselves, whether it be people who are representative or advocacy groups? Some of what the CAS report talks about is the kind of cultural lens in respect of trans rights and all that goes with it. Do you expect that the CAS report will change that? Does it need to change?
That is hard to know. Certainly the issue of gender healthcare has been sucked into a wider culture war to the cost of patients. In our service, we try and focus on the individual, and we try not to get too involved in any of the ideological or social rights debates that are there. That will play out. We try to focus on the safety and well-being of our patients.
When you talk safety and well-being, you talked about the Dutch model earlier on. What do you find in relation to long-term well-being, and what does the CAS report find? Is there good data in relation to what interventions at what stages have the best outcome for patients?
There isn't good data, unfortunately, and that needs to be done. That's what the CAS report points, that we really need to have a much more long-term detailed follow-up of outcomes. There are previous studies, but the interesting thing is that all of the previous studies were carried out on people who had a far more clear and stable gender identity, the more traditional transgender group. In terms of the new group that are presenting worldwide, there is no outcome studies of what is the effect of various treatments on these people.
Can you just outline briefly the difference between those two groups? I realise it is very sort of broad brushstrokes and anecdotal, but the traditional group as you describe it and the new group, how do they present that's different?
Well, for example, the traditional group would have had much more gender non-conforming behaviour in childhood, and more distress during puberty, and then they would develop a far more what's called binary gender identity. That would be someone born in a male body identifying as female. Many of the new group, it seems to emerge very suddenly and dramatically, and it is less stable, and the gender concept is less clear. So we don't know how that will develop over time.
And that is, if I understand the report right, that is in some part the cause for that is the interplay between lived experience, the change in cultural outlook, social media, all of that interacting. Is that correct?
It seems to be. The CAS report points very much at social media as a cause of this. And there's two aspects of social media that seem to be generating this. One is the exposure to distressing content, whether that's, for example, in age-inappropriate content about sex or eating disorders, self-harm, or the exposure to bullying, exclusion, cancel culture, the focus on body image and the focus on identity in social media being directed at children. The second is that we have a lot of organisations or individuals strongly promoting the idea that transitioning is a solution to this distress. It is very normal for teenagers to have gender dysphoria, unhappiness with their body. This has always been the case. And most children who develop problems with their body, say their breasts or, you know, hair, etc., accommodate to that. It's a normal thing. Now, this is being suggested that this is automatically meaning that you're transgender and you're encouraged to begin transitioning and identify and even take treatment. And I think that's part of the problem.
Can I ask finally, it's one of the things that the CAS report says and that CAS herself in some of the narrative around it says, is it a difficult medical specialism to talk about? Because anything that you say, I assume, has the risk, particularly if you say it publicly, of igniting a powder keg of response.
I think that's been a huge problem, that the tone of discourse has become very toxic, like so many things. And particularly some of the groups that are advocating for the so-called informed consent or affirmative model have intimidated a lot of the public representatives and the media from speaking, the so-called cancel culture we've seen. So this is part of the problem, that we can't speak without the debate becoming toxic. I think there should be, you know, openness to different points of view, because we don't really know everything about this, and we should be trying to learn together.
Thank you very much, Doctor. That is Dr. Paul Moran, who is psychiatrist with the National Gender Service. And obviously, if any of the things that we have been discussing have affected you or anybody close to you, the service provides a website that has information there, and you can just Google National Gender Service.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.